Good morning.
Morning.
And who needs CDs anyway, right?
Yeah.
Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to take a closer look at the text. And, Pastor, I actually got a grace text today. I can't believe it. Thanks be to God. All right? We begin at verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus. So what's an apostle? Bob Ely writes, the apostles, this is the only use of the term in Mark's gospel, usually calls them disciples. Apostle comes from a Greek word meaning to send. So does Jesus still send people today?
Yes.
Who does he send? Us. Very good. You guys got it. All right. Question, does the church always go?
No.
Do we always go? No. All right. And he reported to Jesus, and they reported to Jesus all they had done and taught. And this is what's so good about going through the context. You remember Jesus sent out the 12, right? And now they've come back. In the meantime, we learned last week that John the Baptist was beheaded, all right? So the apostles come back, and they're excited to tell Jesus about all their successes. You remember when you were a kid and you did something good and you wanted to tell your parents? Okay. Maybe you got an A paper. Well, hold it. Scratch that. Okay. You did something good. All right. And you're excited to tell your parents. All right. That's the same way the disciples feel right now. Matthew Henry writes, they gathered themselves together to compare notes, and they came to Jesus, the center of their unity, just like Christ is the center of our unity today, to give him an account of what they had done pursuant to their commission. As the servant that was sent to invite to the feast and had received answers from the guests came and showed his Lord all those things, so did the apostles here. They told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Ministers are accountable both for what they do and for what they teach, and must both watch over their own souls and watch for the souls of others as those that must give account. Is it important that we are always happy and pleased with the pastor's sermon? No. Okay. And Pastor Perry and I always have to remember the only person we have to please is Jesus Christ, because that's who we're answerable to. Okay? So there's times when you should leave and you might be ticked off, or maybe you're challenged because God's asking you to change your life. And do people like to change their lives?
No.
You do. It's good to see you back, brother. All right? Verse 31, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Jesus wants some peace and quiet and some time with his disciples. And so do they, because they're coming in off the road, okay? At the same time, John the Baptist was a family member for Jesus, okay? So he lost a family member, and he wanted to be alone with his disciples. He wants to debrief his disciples. He wants to rest, but he also wants to grieve. Charles Spurgeon writes, it is well for us to get alone with God when he takes home the best and most faithful of his servants. Neither the church nor the world could afford to lose such a man as John the Baptist. So it was well for Christ's disciples to retire with him to a desert place, that he might teach them the lesson of that highly favored martyr's death. As in my time as a pastor, there's times, especially right after the death, where the pastor's there, but we need to leave the family alone, especially right after the death. And they don't need a lot of phone calls either, okay? There's a time right after the death when they need to be alone. And that's the case here. Then later they come into the community, and then the community of faith has to be there for them. But they need space, okay? So there's times when we need to give people space, and that's what Jesus wanted, all right? Verse 33, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Bob Ely says, can you imagine a huge crowd of the sick, lame, and curious people running along the shore? These people were desperate. But Jesus always had time for needy people. Are people desperate today?
Yes.
Absolutely. Does Jesus have time for needy people today? all the time, right? Verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It's interesting. Jesus and his disciples need a break, all right? They want to get away. But then the people come and they intrude on them. How does Jesus respond to the people's intrusion? Does he say, get out of here? With compassion. That's right, with compassion. And we're called to do the same thing. And Pastor, whenever I read this text, I always feel guilty because sometimes we get so busy and we don't always respond the way Jesus does with compassion, but that's what we're called to, all right? Matthew Henry writes, when Jesus saw much people, instead of being moved with displeasure because they disturbed him, when he desired to be private as many a good man would have been, he was moved with compassion toward them and looked upon them with concern because they were as sheep having no shepherd. They seemed to be well inclined and manageable as sheep and willing to be taught, but they had no shepherd, none to lead and guide them in the right way, none to feed them with good doctrine. And therefore, in compassion to them, he not only healed their sick, as it is in Matthew, but he taught them many things. And we may be sure that they were all true and good and fit for them to learn. So Jesus has compassion on them, and it's a real deep feeling in the guts, a feeling of empathy and sympathy. But all these people had a variety of needs, right? You have the lame, you have the blind, you have lepers, all kinds of people coming, all right? So what does Jesus do? He began teaching them many things. He began teaching them. It tells us that our ultimate need is spiritual. And it is only filled by the Word of God. Bob Udley says, Jesus' response to the needs of the crowd was his teaching. They needed spiritual wholeness, not just physical restoration. Jesus met both needs. And I don't know how many times Pastor Perry and I have said in our times as pastors that when people are going through tough times, we say, turn to Jesus and focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what the problem is, and everything will fall into place. And that's what happens. It's miraculous, all right? You live in a relationship with Jesus, and then things just fall into place, whether it's a relationship or whatever it is. And this reminds me of in the jails also. Pastor Robin and I were talking the other day. She preaches to the women in jail and I preach to the men. And I don't know how many times we've heard, Pastor, if I can just find a Proverbs 31 woman when I get out of here, I'll be fine. Or the women will say, if I can just find a Christian man, I'll be fine. No. You find Jesus Christ and live in a relationship with Him, and then the man or woman will be provided for you, okay? But it starts by living in that relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate, all right? Verse 35, by this time it was late in the day, so His disciples came to Him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. You think the disciples were being mean-spirited here? No. They were concerned for the people. They didn't want them to go hungry. And yeah, there's probably kids there, right? So they're worried about that. But question, did they trust Jesus? Did the disciples trust Jesus at this time? Not really, because they're going to send them away, right? By the way, Daryl, it's great to see you here, okay? He had open heart surgery, what, 2 weeks ago? Praise Jesus, okay? There's somebody who's hungry for God's Word and a relationship with Jesus Christ, all right? So, what's that? We love them, absolutely. I had nobody to bother me in that place, okay? So it was... Bubba Breakfast is next Saturday, okay? So you're right on time, all right? No bacon, though, all right? That would be cannibalism for you now. You got a pig valve in there, okay? Did the disciples believe Jesus was enough? I don't think so. I think they figured, well, you need to go buy stuff. Charles Spurgeon says, Christ seemed to say to his disciples, if you only exercise the power that is within your reach, with me in your midst, you are equal to this emergency. You give them something to eat. They are little enough in your hands, but they will be ample when they get into mine. When everything that we have is in the hands of Christ, it is amazing how much He can make of it. Bring your talent to the Lord Jesus, be it ever so little. Sanctify to Him every possibility that lies within your reach. You cannot tell how much He can and will do with it. Amen?
Yeah.
A couple of examples. I had a funny experience yesterday. We started a... This is the second week we did a new Spanish jail church down at Tent City, okay? And this Latino guy comes up to me and he says, are you having service now? And I said, yeah, we're having a Spanish service. And he said, you're going to be doing the Spanish service? And I said, yeah. I was wearing my cowboy hat too. But anyway, he said, well, you're white. I said, do you preach in Spanish? And I said, yeah, I do. Okay. And afterwards, he came up and he shook my hand. And he said, thank you, Pastor. And I said, not bad for a white boy, huh? But who knew, you know? And Robin, you're doing the same. We're going into jail. Pastor Perry's at the Spanish service. We're very little, but in God's hands, we can do all things. Amen? The other thing, as far as God's providence, Robin and I were talking just the other day. I think it was yesterday. And as you know, Robin's retired. But I'm not. Okay. But she was the main breadwinner in our family, actually. And we only have a fraction of what she was making before. But we decided to see what would happen as far as our tithe, and we wanted to leave our tithe the same, even though her income was cut more than in half. And we've been doing that, and we were talking yesterday, and we said, well, the Lord's provided, so we'll just keep doing it. Okay? That's God's math. That's how He works, okay? It's not us, all right? So we trust Him. Do we believe Jesus is enough? Do we bring our talent to Jesus? Not often enough, right? But it's happening more and more here. There's more and more people stepping up, okay? Here's an important question, and I ask the inmates, do we think Jesus can use us? And a lot of people think no. A lot of people think no. I'm not good enough. But they can use the pastors or use somebody else. Jesus can use all of us. And He's got a mission for all of us. The mission isn't just for pastors. It's for each and every one of us. And I'm looking around here and Jose's been bringing all kinds of people to church. Okay? It's not our mission, just the pastors. It's everybody's. Okay? Charles Spurgeon says, but not so. The Master said to you and me, you give them something to eat. You. Let this church feel that it should look upon the world as if it were the only church and do its utmost as if it had no helper under heaven but had all the work to do itself. And let the entire body of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, instead of looking to societies for evangelization or to commerce or to governments, remember that she is the sole Savior of the world. Christ never was incarnate in kings and in princes. His incarnation today is in the church. If you ask me where God is on earth, I point to the man Christ Jesus. If you ask me where is Christ on earth, I point you to His faithful church called by His Spirit. We are the body of Christ. All of us, right? And when He's saying, you give them something to eat, He's talking to all of us. Amen? And what I tell the inmates all the time, and I told them yesterday, that means you're going to be apostles when you get out of here to your families to bring them to Christ first. And then your friends, okay? You're the ones God is sending. And you may have started in Tent City, but who knows where you're going to end up. Well, we know where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in heaven. But How can God use you? Okay? And that's each and every one of us. What is our response when Jesus says, you give them something to eat? We will. So what do? We say, well, I go to church on Sundays. Is that what Jesus is talking about? Believe me, I love seeing all of you here, all right? But this isn't the mission. The mission is out there, okay? The mission has always been out there. Who do you know who doesn't know Jesus Christ? We all know people, right? Now, one of the greatest problems in the church today, and I've seen it in my ministry, and I know, Pastor, you've probably seen it in yours, is a scarcity mentality. And what's a scarcity mentality? The church will say, well, we can't afford to do that. We don't have the money, all right? Many years ago, a very wise woman, who's seated right here, okay, our council at the time, I think we had $60,000 in the bank because they sold the property next door as a last-ditch effort. And there were many people on the council at that time, that was 13 years ago, that felt we need to keep that money in the bank, all right? And Robin said that the Lord is not going to bless this church until we spend all that money. And that's what we've been doing. And the Lord has opened up the floodgates of heaven upon us. Because can that money bring anybody to Jesus Christ sitting in the bank? No. We put it to use for mission, right? We have a mission. And I've learned that there's many churches that have endowments of over $500,000 just sitting in their bank accounts. I mean, that will never happen here. I'll fool you, okay? And it's not because the pastor's going to Tahiti, all right? We're going to do mission, all right? Verse 38. How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. And they probably had like 5 loaves of bread in the boat because they were going on a trip. And then they might have caught a couple fish on the way, all right? Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. At this point, do you think the disciples trusted or believed Jesus? I don't know. I think they're still shaky. I don't think they have a clue of what he's going to do, all right? What did you say, Tim? And isn't that like us? We want to trust Him, but we just can't fathom. My bills are so big, Lord, I can't fathom that You can cover that. All right? So, Bob Yulee says, they did not even have enough for themselves. Jesus was using this opportunity to show the disciples that what they have was enough and more if it was given to Him and if they trust Him. And you see how we need to just turn things into His hands? Sometimes we're broken when that happens, okay? I mean, when you're going into heart surgery, Daryl, you have to put it in His hands, right? Where else are you going to go, all right? Sonia's not going to help you, huh? All right? That's it. That's his very faithful sister, okay, who's been caring for him, okay? Verse 41, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. So what was the Jewish posture for prayer at this time? Standing with arms and head raised and eyes open. Like this. What happens today if people see you praying like this in church? They think you're crazy, right? Okay? Well, I want to tell you here, we don't care how you pray. All right? In regards to tongues, though, I will say this. No, okay? Tongues, we usually pray in tongues on Mondays or if we lay on hands and pray for somebody. Somebody will pray in tongues. But we don't do it in public worship because what will happen is people will really think you're crazy, okay? What's that? You have to have an interpreter. The scriptures. We go by what the scriptures say. But one of the best stories I have on this is many years ago, Sandy, who's here today, she's one of our jail pastors, she died and went to hell and came back and... She met Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, Sandy will raise her hand in worship, and she sometimes she dances. She does crazy things, okay? But that, it's all good. You know, it all gives glory to God. And there was one person who came and said, after worship, she said, it kind of bothers me that you raise your hands in worship. And Sandy said, oh, I understand. And she said, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but when I was dead and the Lord raised me to life, I promised that I would never be embarrassed of Jesus. So that's why I raised my hands in worship. So what do you say to that? Right? I'll say, Sandy's still here and the other person isn't. So praise Jesus, okay? Amen. So I wish more people raised their hands in worship. Because when we do that, it's the Holy Spirit, right? And if you want to reach out to Jesus, do you reach out to Jesus this way? I mean, absolutely. Oh, yeah. But you have to scream, too. Just ask little Richie. He'll tell you. Okay. I got that down. All right. So please pray any way you want here, okay? You're not going to offend anyone, all right? Amen. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Now, there's some liberal theologians that say what happened is the people just all shared their food. Well, that's not the case. And verse 43 says, the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. That shows that it was an excess that Jesus and the disciples provided. Okay? So, that theory is not valid. But to this Jewish audience, this miracle was huge. And the reason being in Deuteronomy 18, the Lord says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. He's talking to Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. So, the people are thinking, this is the new Moses. Because what happened, what did Moses do in the desert with the chosen people? Manna from heaven and quail, right? And water from rocks. He provided for them when they were in the desert. So, the Jewish audience who is seeing this is saying, this is the prophet that Moses talked about that was greater than him that is supposed to come. And that's why they were excited and they want to make him king, because they figured this is it. This is the deal, alright? Utley says, Jesus is the new Moses, his deliverance is the new Exodus, and he brings the new age of abundance. And in that, Jesus had enough for 10,000 people. Figure 5,000 men and then women and children. But many people will ask, and once again, especially the guys in the jail, but does he have enough for me? He did it in the Bible, he did it back then. But is Jesus here for me? Does he have enough for me? Matthew Henry says, this miracle was significant and shows that Christ came into the world to be the great feeder as well as the great healer. Not only to restore, but to preserve and nourish spiritual life. And in him, there is enough for all that come to him. Enough to fill the soul, to fill the treasures. None are sent away empty from Christ. But those that come to him, except for those that come to him full of themselves. No one is sent away empty except those who are full of themselves. Are there people who are full of themselves today? Absolutely. Okay? I don't have time for this Jesus, right? I don't need this. Okay? And the bottom line is we all need Jesus. And if we do that and we come to him humbly, he's there. He turns no one away empty-handed who comes to him. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus has enough if we are not too full of ourselves. And you know, pastors have to be aware of that too. I mean, you want to see people who are full of themselves, just look at your pastors. I mean, my goodness, all right? Charles Spurgeon said, and Jesus Christ says to us, his poor dependents, his crying children, you need not depart, When we are weeping, He will lay us in His bosom and give us rest. When we are famishing, He will entertain us at His royal table till we forget our misery. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother in this respect. For we may at all times and seasons resort to our elder brother. We may ask him, "Where do you dwell?" And when we receive his answer, we may go forth and dwell with him and make his house our home. Do you not remember his words, "Abide in me"? Not merely abide with me, but abide in me. The closest contact with Christ may be maintained continually and right now. Are we needy today? We all have needs, right? Are we willing to receive Jesus, or are we too full of ourselves? Jesus' greatest desire is for us to turn to Him today. Think of this. This is the Son of God, right, who came to earth, died, and rose from the dead, and is seated in heaven right now. His greatest desire is for us to live in relationship with Him. Wow! That's His greatest desire, for us to live with and in Him. Do you see how special we are? Do you see what's available to us? And all we have to do is accept this great gift. None are sent away empty. None are sent away empty. Amen? So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to You this day, and we all have our needs, Lord. We all need provision. We all have emptiness that we're dealing with, Lord. We ask that You send Your Spirit in power now, Lord, just as You worked in power when You fed the 5,000. We ask that You work in power this day. Send Your Spirit into our hearts, Lord, that we know Your presence, that we know that You're real, that You love us, and that You turn none away empty. Fill us now, Lord. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. And we ask that You send us just like You sent the apostles to the people who don't know You, Lord. And grant us the courage to talk to them and to tell them just how wonderful and glorious You are, Lord, and how much better life is living with You than living on our own. And we pray that You are glorified by everything we say and do here in this place and when we go forth, Lord. And we pray all of this in Your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.